You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as brilliant Bubba Watson cruises to victory at the WGC Dell Technologies match play.
Absolutely unbelievable. Lucky enough to win one in China a few years back with a hole out of the bunker, but to have another one, to have another trophy like that, I mean, this is the closest thing to a major, so it's a big deal for me.
Watson dispatched fellow American Kevin Kisner in the final, while a great week for Alex Noren ended with a third place finish.
Yeah, it's very pleasing in that somebody would have said you're going to finish third this week, it would have been nice to take that, but I played steady today and it's great to play against the best, and especially Vita.
We'll hear from the main protagonists as we look back at the best of the action from Austin, plus we'll continue our build-up to the first major of the year, with the Masters merely a matter of weeks away. I'm Dan Roebuck and I'm joined by former European Tour player John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Actually, remarkably well this morning. It's my birthday tomorrow.
Is it really? How old, John?
72.
72. Do you know what? I'd put you older than that, but
that's kind of
72, that's pretty cool. One man who is considerably younger is Bob Bubka, and I'm delighted to say that we're also joined by the veteran US golf broadcaster now. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be on with you, Dan. Good to be on with you again, John. Been a little while since we've chatted.
Yes, well, I've nearly survived another winter, Bob.
And, Bob, 6 months ago, did you think that we would be sat here talking about Bubba Watson winning for the second time in the PGA Tour season? He has been sensational, particularly over the course of the 5 days of the match play, with a brilliant win in the final. What did you make of Bubba in the final and indeed over the course of this season?
Well, it's just been incredible for Bubba Watson. There was talk coming out of his camp that, maybe the end is here. I've won 9 times. I got 2 majors. Maybe retirement's in my future. Then all of a sudden, he goes to Ping. They take 2 putters, they meld them together, they take some loft off of his putter, and suddenly he's rolling it as well as he ever has. He goes into L.A., wins the Genesis Open for the 3rd time, joining Lloyd Mangrum and Ben Hogan as the only 3-time winner of that event. And then he rolls into Austin, Texas, and the Bubba Watson party continues. Bubba didn't even have a lot of confidence coming to Austin, because his wife, Angie, and his 2 children, they had planned to go on vacation on the Sunday that the finals were going to be played. And Bubba had to call his wife Saturday night and said, "Honey, we have to hold off on that vacation. I got a little more work to do here in Austin, Texas."
Well, his work was tremendous. He beat Kevin Kisner 7-6 in the final. John, before we get into the meat of the event, just remind us about the format, because it has changed over the years.
Well, on this occasion, there were 16 groups of 4 players. They all played round-robin matches Wednesday through Friday. Then 1 point was awarded for a win, 1 for a half point, and for a half match in the group stage. The winners of each group then advanced to the knockout, but there were some high-profile players that actually didn't advance, the likes of Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Matsuyama, Rory, Day, Spieth. I mean, that is a real list of players. But match play, round robin, you can get all sorts of things happen. So unlike stroke play, it can tend to be perhaps a little bit unpredictable.
Bob, you mentioned that Bubba's family thought that he might not make the final, and you always think that when it comes to match play, certain players don't really enjoy it. This event's been around a long time now. Have PGA Tour players embraced it more recently?
Well, that's a great question. I think you would still find some that liked it better when it was single elimination. 64 players teed up on Wednesday, only 32 survive. Other players like it this way because, they didn't like having to come to the site and play one match and then go home. But overall, they are starting to embrace it. It is only once a year, so it's a little bit different. Austin Country Club for the last 3 years has been spectacular. It's a short course by today's standards, but there are a lot of options. There are holes that you can drive, par fives that you can reach into, which it really doesn't matter how short the course is if they're playing match play. And it certainly stood the test of time this past week.
Bob, John reeled off a number of players who didn't make it out of the group stages. If you're connected with Dustin Johnson or John Rahm or Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, should you be concerned that their player didn't make it into the knockout stages? If you were that particular player, would you be worried? What did you make of those early exits?
Well, Dan, the only one that I think is probably more concerned than any of the other players is Jordan Spieth. Suddenly, that magic putter that guided him to three major championships seems to have deserted him. His trademark was making 20, 25-foot putts on a regular basis. I'll tell you this much. At John Hawksworth, during his career, had the ability to make every 20 and 25-foot putt he looked at, he'd be in the World Golf Hall of Fame. He wouldn't be doing the Race to Dubai show with you and I, Dan.
The hole was too small when I played.
Should Rory McIlroy, should Jordan Spieth be worried, John? What are your thoughts on those early exits?
Not really. McIlroy, it's just one Bay Hill. He probably not kind of happy he went out. Of course, he was there to win it. But the Masters is coming up. Spieth, for me, how do I put it? He can't putt like that forever. You can't keep putting like that forever. And so if you're relying on holding those 20, 25-footers, at some stage it's going to come to an end. The Masters, Spieth-wise, we all remember him imploding. He's in a different mental place than McIlroy is, because McIlroy's just won Bay Hill. And I've seen a lot of him at the start of the year. He looks really good, McIlroy. He's not firing on all cylinders, Spieth, but it only takes a couple of shots for these guys to turn it round.
There were also early exits, group stage exits for the likes of Tommy Fleetwood, Phil Mickelson, Paul Casey, Brandon Grace, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Ross Fisher and Matt Fitzpatrick. We moved on to the last 16. Alex Noren got the better of Patrick Reed. I think from a golfing point of view, we like to see John Patrick Reed play match play golf because he's a feisty character. Was that a surprise that he was knocked out by Alex Noren?
No.
And potentially we could see them again in the Ryder Cup.
No, not for me. Noren's very underrated, I think. Patrick Reed, I would say, tends to talk a better game than perhaps he's got. Noren, he's a bit of a lethal weapon. Played great in the group stages. To do him 5-3, he's not frightened of anybody. The one that surprised me a bit was Sergio losing to Cal Stanley. Sergio, I thought, looked great, and especially in the knockout stages. But match play is a very strange animal. Don't play a massive amount of it. I'd like to see a bit more of it, but because it makes it very varied. But no, I'm not surprised Noren did Reed 5-3.
From a European point of view, Bob, we thought that Sergio Garcia would easily beat Kyle Stanley. Tell European listeners something about Kyle, because they might not know too much about him.
Well, he's a very steady player, and he's deceptively long off the tee. There's no flair to Kyle Stanley. He just goes out there, plays his game, and as John alluded to, over the course of 18 holes, I mean, there's no accurate barometer on you know, one guy should beat another guy.
Other players to make it through from the last 16. Bubba Watson, of course. Kiradek Appy Barnrat. Justin Thomas beat Siwoo Kim. Cameron Smith got the better of Tyrrell Hatton. A word on Tyrrell from John in just a second. And also successes for Messrs. Poulter and Kisner as Oosthuizen and Kuchar bowed out at the last 16. Tyrrell Hatton, although he didn't make it through to the quarterfinals, again, it was another good, solid week. He was third in Mexico. He likes these big events, it would appear.
He's a very accomplished player. Look at the way he finished last season off. But Cameron Smith is no duck egg. Had a good finish in a major in recent years and has been bubbling. He's a 50 in the world. He's a quality player. So Cameron Smith against Tyrrell Hatton, people at home would have probably thought, well, Hatton will turn him over because they won't know a massive amount about Smith. But as I say, he's the full salad.
And so what does that mean, John? You say every single week and no one knows what you mean.
There's absolutely nothing
missing.
Nobody
knows what you mean. Bob, do you know what that means?
I absolutely do not, but I think that's one of the attractions of John Hawksworth.
Quarterfinals. Bubba Watson got the better of Kiradek Appy Barnrat. Alex Noren beat Cameron Smith. Justin Thomas defeated Kyle Stanley 2-1. The biggest win came from Kevin Kisner, who got the better of Ian Poulter. Ian Poulter was using his putter from the Miracle of Medina. He got thumped 8-6, Mr. Hawksworth.
Yes, that is a thrashing, to be honest. Very unlike Poulter, because we know what he was like in the Ryder Cup. But Kisner seemed to be brilliant that week. Both of them, or neither of them, very long hitters. I mean, when I saw Watson up against Kisner in the final, I think he blasted it about 90 yards past him. But Poulter and Kisner, they wouldn't be that much apart in distance, but he's dished it out there 8-6. He'd be licking his wounds.
But what are your thoughts on Ian Poulter? Made a comeback, of course, over the last 12 months with that good second place at the Players last year. Is he inching back towards the top table of golf?
Well, something very unfortunate happened to Ian Poulter following his match on Friday. Somebody from Golf Channel came up to Ian Poulter and said, because you won your match today, you are now in the top 50. You are in the Masters. And Ian Poulter slept on that all of Friday night. He shows up Saturday to play his match, and 10 minutes before he's to tee off, he's informed that there was a mistake made. You're not in the Masters. You have to win this match today to get into the Masters. And we all know what happened. I'm not saying that's the reason he lost, but certainly anybody that's being told that they're in the Masters and then they're not in the Masters, that's something pretty hard to deal with.
It's a difficult situation, but John, haven't you got to check yourself?
Well, yes, you can do, but mistakes are made. It was made with him, wasn't it, to do with the money, which is how he obtained his card back again, if you like. So, yeah, it's all right saying check yourself, but mistakes can be made. They've been made before, they'll be made again.
Have you ever made a mistake?
Not in the last 45 years. No one's thought so.
Bob, have you ever heard of a situation like this before? Have you, as a member of the media, mentioned to a golfer something that's turned out to be wrong, or have you ever come across a situation similar to this?
No, I really haven't. I mean, certainly, you're right, Dan. I mean, Ian Poulter had every opportunity to verify what was told to him. But the normal reaction is that, boy, I'm happy that transpired. You know, they're with Golf Channel, so, you know, they certainly had credibility. And I don't think they did it maliciously. I would certainly stand up for Golf Channel. They were kind of happy to give this good news to Ian Poulter because they truly believed that's what had transpired. But, you know, it's just one of those quirky things. And, you know, and I'm not saying Ian Poulter would have played any better had he, you know, had this not happened to him. But, you know, it is pause for reflection, because if you think all night that, boy, you know, I came here to match play, I wanted to get into the Masters, I've achieved that goal, now I'm going to go out and play a match and I'm going to be able to freewheel it. And then right before you tee off, you're told you have to win the match to get in the Masters. It was just a bizarre set of circumstances.
Yeah, the mindset can change. Certainly 51st, of course, one place outside qualifying for the Masters. As it stands at the moment, he's not playing at Houston. I guess that could change. He was, of course, beaten by the eventual runner-up. Semi-final saw Bubba Watson beat Justin Thomas. Bob, again, Justin Thomas has been sensational this year. I think everyone thought that he was going to win. He was looking to grab number one spot in the world. Did that affect his play at all? What did you make of Thomas's week?
Well, amazingly enough, when Thomas was asked, did he feel any pressure with the prospects of becoming the number one golfer in the world, and he was very candid. He said, I was wrong. I felt tremendous pressure trying to achieve that goal. He also had two wisdom teeth taken out early in the week, had lost about 5 or 6 pounds. And when you look at Justin Thomas, I mean, it's not like John or I losing 5 or 6 pounds.
There'd be nothing left to John if he lost 5 or 6 pounds.
I was going to say, he must have had big teeth if he's lost 5 or 6 pounds.
But anyway, so he wasn't really feeling 100%. Then the pressure of trying to be the number one golfer in the world, which I think is going to happen. It probably happen fairly soon, because he's just an unbelievable player with a magnificent pedigree. His dad's a club professional. His grandfather's a club professional. I mean, Justin Thomas almost was born to be a pro golfer and really one of the good guys out there, but he's got a wealth of talent. He's small in stature, but he hits it a country mile. I mean, he's as long as anybody playing the game right now, maybe with the exception of two or three guys. So don't count Justin Thomas out just because he lost when we get to the Masters.
And a word on the other semi-final, John. Alex Noren beaten by Kevin Kisner, went beyond the 18, yeah. Went to 19 holes. And Alex just missing out once again. He went so close earlier on in the Farmers, an event which Jason Day won. Yeah. And Alex, of course, was hampered with some slow play from other players then. He's getting closer to that PGA Tour win, isn't he?
Yeah, he'd be, for me, a good outside bet for the Masters. He's got everything. I've known Alex a long, long time. Very nice guy. Works really hard on his game. He's got a very pronounced practice motion that he puts on it to try and have a feeling of getting on top of the ball. But when the gun goes off, he's fully ready to play and he's not frightened of anyone.
More on the Masters shortly. We'll get John's picks and Bob's selections for the first major of the year before the show is out. But we've got to talk about the final. Bubba Watson against Kevin Kisner, Bob. An easy win, 7-6 for Bubba. I mean, he won the first five holes. How on earth does Kevin come back from that? Bubba was just far too good from the gun.
Yeah, and Kevin, you know, said right after the match, you know, it's 18 holes, and John knows from his playing days, Bubba Watson comes out, wins the first couple of holes, and then that snowball effect takes place. And, you know, when you're playing Bubba Watson, if you're Kevin Kisner, you know, you're watching his drives go 90, 100 yards past your drives. Now, if you're really on your game, especially in match play, you know, hitting first can be a tremendous edge. Kevin Kisner just couldn't execute his approach shots to put any pressure on Bubba Watson. And then Bubba Watson, with a much shorter club, was able to hit it a lot closer to the hole. It was pretty much a cakewalk for Bubba Watson. And I think John alluded to it a little while ago. I mean, he's somebody that we really have to put a keen eye on when we get to the Masters. I mean, his creativity and his ability to shape it from right to left, left to right, imagining great shots. Ben Crenshaw, where he was a member of the Austin Country Club for years, had an opportunity to spend some time with him earlier in the week. And he said that is one absolute necessary ingredient when you're playing Augusta National. You have to have a tremendous imagination, because what you see is a huge green, but in reality, it's a very small target where you have to hit it in order to be successful.
John, how intimidating is it when in match play one player is so much longer off the tee than the other?
Well, it's hard to ignore, but you need to ignore it. I mean, I saw a couple of shots where it was like Anthony Joshua fighting Graham Norton. Mm. It was just no contest. I mean, you can't knock it 90 yards past someone.
Might have to explain Graham Norton to Bob.
Well, he's a TV personality over here, and if he had a fight with Anthony Joshua, he wouldn't last very long, Bob. I think it's the best way of putting it. But you can't hit it 90 yards past and go in 5-iron to a lob wedge. It's an uphill battle, and Kisner played badly in the first few holes. 5 up after 5, yeah, but he made a good few bogeys. But he's playing a different golf course.
Well, the difference was 6 at the turn. Kisner won his solitary hole of the match at the 11th, but it was all over at the very next hole. Bubba Watson champion, 7-6 in the final against Kevin Kisner. Let's hear from Bubba, who was asked what it felt like to get his hands on another trophy.
Feels great. Absolutely unbelievable. Lucky enough to win one in China a few years back with a hole out of the bunker. But to have another one, to have another trophy like that, I mean, this is the closest thing to a major. So it's a big deal for me.
Tell us how tough it is to win this, because it's a long way around, 7 times round here.
Yeah, very tough. Obviously, you could see Kisner played unbelievable this week, and you could just see the energy was gone. It was zapped from him because he had to fight to get it into the final match, and he had to go extra holes, actually win it here. You could see it was zapped. And when I made a birdie and then won the next hole, it was just the energy was gone. So for me, it was great for me, but obviously that just shows how tough it is. I mean, 100-plus holes, I think it was. I think it was 97 before this match. So, I mean, that's just a long week of golf, especially as you get older like me.
Can you just remind us what you had planned for this weekend?
I had a vacation. I'm a day late. I'm supposed to be sitting on a sandy beach right now with my kiddos playing in the water. But I'm here, you know, in a cloudy day, lifting a trophy, I guess.
Well, Bubba becomes just the fifth player to win multiple World Golf Championships and multiple majors after Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els and Rory McIlroy. It's Bubba's 11th win, all since 2010. Only DJ and Rory have more during that time. Bob, over the last few years, we talk about Johnson, Spieth, Thomas, Rory. Do we talk about Bubba in the same conversation? Should he be in the same conversation?
Well, we certainly haven't talked about him over the last couple of years. And, you know, probably in part due to the unconventional way that he plays the game. I mean, there is not an instructor in the world that would ever say to their pupil, I want you to copy the swing of Bubba Watson, where you're literally off your feet when you make contact with the golf ball. I mean, just when the TV cameras focus on the footwork of Bubba Watson, it looks like it should be on a show Dancing with the Stars rather than a professional golf tournament. He does it all with his hands. He's a tremendous field player, but he doesn't get the recognition that he really deserves. But I think now this being his second World Golf Championship victory, he's got two majors. You know, he's not too far away from really locking up a place in the World Golf Hall of Fame.
I've watched a lot of Bubba Watson. One of the things that he does unbelievably well, I mean, you're right about if you were coaching him, you wouldn't coach that. And they all talk about a stable base. He clears his hips so well, and yet he's got that great footwork. That's why he produces so much length. Rory has a double hip rotation. It's all about clearing yourself out of the way to be able to hit the ball. And Watson, if you watch him in super slow-mo now, which you're able to do, it's just awesome the way he moves his knees and his hips.
Has he changed his game? I'll put this to John and Bob. Has he changed his game after all the weight loss? Because, you know, he was a lot heavier. He was a bigger guy when he won his first Masters and he lost an awful lot of weight. John, has it changed?
Well, if you lose a lot of weight, I can think of several players over the years that have done it. Darren Clark. There was a guy a few years ago called Glenn Ralph. What it can do is it can play havoc with your balance because you think I'm fitter and I'm lighter. I don't know why you're smiling, but your body alters.
I'm just trying to think, are you at your playing weight? Were you a little bit heavier when you played?
No, I've always been a whippet.
Okay.
But it's hard to keep your swing when you do have excessive weight loss.
Bob, do you think his game changed at all? Because he sunk right out of the picture, didn't he? What was he, 117 in the world?
Yeah, but I think with Bubba Watson, it probably was more of a mental issue than a physical issue with Bubba. I mean, he thinks way out of the box. He talks way out of the box. He enjoys being out of the box. And as far as, you know, the weight loss, I think it's helped him. I mean, it worked pretty well for one guy. I think you may have heard of him, Jack Nicklaus. He won 18 majors. He lost maybe 25, 30 pounds from when he first came out to when he won his last major in 1986. So the weight loss situation, I think it's a plus for Bubba Watson. And John's right on the money with analyzing how quick his hips are. I mean, they're incredibly fast, and that's why, you know, we see him hit the golf ball so far. I mean, it's not only with the driver. I mean, you know, he hits a gap wedge or a sand wedge. He can hit it 150, 160 yards. I mean, that's just incredible length.
And just one last one on the final, Bob, from you, regarding Kevin Kisner. Again, from a European standpoint, we don't know too much about him. We saw him win at Colonial last year. He's been up on leaderboards since. How far can he go in his game?
He's a tremendous talent. He doesn't look it. He's not very big, but he can operate under pressure. He got some experience in the President's Cup. He certainly hopes that he's going to make the Ryder Cup team. He wants to play in France. But I'll just tell you a little on the personal side of Kevin Kisner. Happened to have grown up with his caddy, Dwayne Bach, who is a very accomplished player in his own right. He won the North-South Amateur, which is a very big event, played professionally in Canada. But after the win at Colonial, Dwayne Bach woke up, looked out in his driveway, and saw a strange vehicle he had never seen before. He walked out there. There was a little note And Kevin just said, enjoy the truck. Great work last week at Colonial. I mean, that's the kind of guy Kevin Kisner is. And he's tough. He, you know, he's somebody, he grew up, you know, maybe 45 minutes from Augusta National in a place called Aiken, South Carolina. So it's going to be like a home game for him. And he's somebody, as an outside shot, you probably got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, maybe an outsider for the Masters, which comes up in a couple of weeks' time. To the consolation match now, and much like the final, it was a rather one-sided affair with Alex Noren brushing aside Justin Thomas 5-3, and the Swede says he was delighted with how he performed throughout the week.
Yeah, it's very pleasing, and if somebody would have said you're going to finish third this week, you know, it would have been nice to take that, but... yeah, I mean, he's a great player, and you know, I played steady today, and it's great to play against the best, and especially beat them.
And talking about playing about the best, in a couple of weeks' time, you're going to be up against them again, aren't you? What's your thoughts on going to the Masters?
It's going to be nice. You know, this was perfect for me, like a confident, like a lot of confidence from this week, and a great kind of. You know, match play is tough. You try your hardest on every shot, and so it's a good warm up, how to say, but it's not a warm up. It's a world event, but it feels good to have a week off now to kind of recharge my batteries and kind of see my coaches and kind of fine tune what wasn't going so well this week and then work on what's going well. So I'm looking forward to the Masters a lot. Yeah.
That was Alex Noren, who finished third in the WGC match play. We've heard John's thoughts, and John believes that Alex can go close at Augusta. Bob, how do you rate Alex Noren? Because he's gone close on a couple of occasions, as we've mentioned, on the PGA Tour this year.
Well, watching Alex Noren this year, I come away being extremely impressed with how he uses that short stick. I mean, he puts that golf ball so well. The roll on that ball is so pure, and he's gaining confidence over here. I mean, he's won 9 times on the European Tour, or in the world, I should say. And then, you know, he's seeking his first victory, but he can't be too far away. When you putt as well as Alex does, you just keep knocking on that door. I'd be more surprised if Alex Noren doesn't win on the PGA Tour this year than I will be when he does win.
Let's check out the latest Race to Dubai rankings, John.
Which are led by Shevchenko Sharma, Kiradek Afibarnrat second, Tyrrell Hatton third, Tommy Fleetwood fourth, Noren now up to fifth, Rafa Cabrera-Bello is sixth, Hao Tong Li is seventh, Rory McIlroy eighth, Jorge Campillo ninth, and Dylan Fratelli, the South African, 10th.
Predictions from last week. It is presenter versus co-presenter this year, of course. 2 picks apiece. Normally, 1 pick has to be from outside the top 50 in the final 2017 R2D standings. But taking into account the qualifying criteria for last week's WGC, we did waive the rule last week. 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, a minus 5 for a miscut, or in this case, not making out of the group stages. Robert Lee, who was in this chair last week, went for Rory McIlroy and Paul Casey, neither of which made the last 16, so he was minus 10 points. And Mr. Richard Boxall Esquire did a lot better, went for Alex Noren, who was third, of course, so he grabbed 10 points there. And Tyrrell Hatton, who managed to make it through to the last 16, so 5 points for that, 15 points in total. A record haul for the co-presenter, I would imagine. The latest score, presenter is on 70, co-presenter currently on 15. To the Fantasy Race 2 Dubai game now, and congratulations to listener Lewis Hay, who scored the most points in the show's mini league. Jay Davis still leads the way at the top. In the global standings, Brando Pieroni registered the most points last week, while Thomas Sandstrom is out in front overall. Don't forget, you can join in. Just go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Ryder Cup time. John, the latest when it comes to the European point scoring lists.
So there are 2 lists. The European points list first. 4 names off there and 4 off the world. The European list is led by Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose, Ross Fisher, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Then the world points list, John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy and Sergio Garcia. Alex Noren hovering, and of course that's going to change.
It will change, no doubt. As we've got an American on the show, how is the US side shaping up ahead of matters at Le Golf National, Bob? Give us the latest US Ryder Cup points list, if you can.
Well, it's an impressive list when you look at it. Justin Thomas right on top, Dustin Johnson in second. Brooks Koepka, the winner of the United States Open, has an injury right now. We'll have to keep an eye on that. Phil Mickelson in fourth. Jordan Spieth, fifth. Matt Kuchar, steady Matt Kuchar right there in sixth. Little Bulldog Brian Harman, Patrick Reed, Ricky Fowler, Gary Woodland rounds out the top 10. But two names that definitely probably are going to be playing in the Ryder Cup. Bubba Watson currently at number 11. But he would be an automatic captain's pick if he doesn't make it on points. And the real surprise, and I never thought I'd be saying this, but there is better than good chance right now that Tiger Woods not only is going to be vice captain in Paris, he's going to be on the team as a competitor currently at number 24.
Bob, surely you can't do both roles. You can't be vice captain and play.
Well, when you have five vice captains, there's not much that a vice captain has to do. I remember the famous quote by Des Smith when we were in Dublin, and he was a vice captain. And when he was asked what his biggest job that week, and he said, towels. I have to make sure the players have their towels. So if Tiger Woods is relegated to just doing towels, he certainly could play while taking care of the towels for the players.
Bob, in terms of the American team, are you confident that you can retain the trophy against the Europeans? How do you see it at the minute?
Boy, I was a lot more confident maybe a year ago, but the outstanding play of so many different Europeans, I mean, the excitement level over here is really starting to build. This European team, if it was being played in the United States, I think would have an excellent chance at victory because they're so strong and so many young guys playing so well. But you take the scene to the European side, France, boy, right now I view it as a toss-up. I actually think that the Europeans are currently the favorites.
John, Europeans favorites?
I would say the Americans, if I'm going to be honest, a little bit overrated.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
So basically you're saying that the Europeans are favourites as well?
I would.
So we're all agree the Europeans are favourites.
At home, Paris National, European crowd, great golf course. We're going to have a great team. They're going to have a good team, but I do think they're overrated. So we'll see.
We will indeed. Ahead of the Ryder Cup, of course, we've got the first major of the season, which is the Masters. And we have got you on, Bob, what are your thoughts ahead of the first major? Who do you think will win? Give us a couple of players to follow.
Well, from the United States, I'm going to go out on a pretty big limb right here because his name really hasn't been mentioned that much lately. But I like his putting stroke. I like a lot of things about him. So I think Ricky Fowler is going to surprise a lot of people in 2 weeks and get that huge, monkey off his back and win his first major. From the European side, I can't look but anywhere other than Rory McIlroy. When you think about where golf is right now, we've had five guys in history be able to win all four of golf's majors. And this year, we could add three more names. I mean, Rory McIlroy could complete his slam at the Masters, Phil Mickelson at the U.S. Open, and Jordan Spieth at the PGA Championship. Now, when you say five guys in history have done it and three are capable of doing it in 2018, it's absolutely stunning.
And as you mentioned, the first of those could be Rory McIlroy, and we can hear his thoughts on his Masters challenge next.
This will be the fourth time that I go back to Augusta and try to complete the career Grand Slam, which is a great position to be in. You know, I relish that opportunity. You know, if I'm able to do it one day, I'll go down in one of the most elite clubs ever, not just in golf, but probably in sport. So I know that it's an important tournament for me, but I love the Masters. I love Augusta. I love spending time there. I love playing the golf course. It's the one golf course I'd play for the rest of my life and be very happy not to play anywhere else. So I love it. I love the place. I love everything about it. And, you know, I haven't won there quite yet, but I feel with how my game is and, you know, where my mind is at, it won't be too long before I I do, and you know, hopefully this is a year where I can get into contention and handle everything the way I need to handle it, and hopefully I'll have a green jacket by the end of the week.
There's a lot of people that hope so, certainly on this side of the Atlantic. John, is there extra pressure on Rory? Is there always pressure on Rory? Does it really matter?
Well, he's aware that this completes the club, if you like, the set that he's after. It'll be purely down to how he puts, because he hits it in places a lot of players can't. But the greens are really the defence of Augusta. There's no rough on it. He can take lines that are not familiar to other players. So it'll be purely down to the putting. He putted great at Bay Hill, but it's about consistency, you know. So we'll see. I hope he can do it, but I hope the pressure isn't piled on him press conference after press conference being asked the same thing.
Just finally, Bob, before we let you go, you mentioned that this year could be a brilliant year in golf. It could be a Masters for the ages, couldn't it? Because DJ has won this year. Justin Thomas has won a couple of times. Jason Day back in the winner's enclosure. Rory back in the winner's enclosure. Tiger backfiring. Phil Mickelson going well. Bubba, likewise. It is bubbling up to be something special at Augusta, isn't it?
Well, I think right now on paper, just a couple of weeks out, it's a golf lover's dream of what's going to happen. I mean, just those names that you mentioned. I mean, any one of those could win the Masters in a heartbeat. And then we have that X factor. I mean, Tiger is literally the betting favorite now in Las Vegas to win the Masters. If I said that on this show 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I probably would never be invited back. They would say he's finally lost it. But, you know, Tiger is Tiger. And golly, can you imagine? Here's my dream, guys. I want Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods tied for the lead going into the fourth and final round at Augusta National. The TV ratings will go over anything that's ever been experienced previous.
You're not asking for much, Bob.
Well, you got to ask in order to receive. And it's not that crazy a dream.
No, I mean, it's not.
You know, I mean, Phil Mickelson, certainly he's playing some superb golf. His putting is tremendous. I mean, obviously, he wants to win that U.S. Open worse than anybody wants to win any event. But he could certainly get the job done down there. Rory McIlroy, you made a good argument for him, John. He gets that putter rolling. Who can beat him? And then Tiger, I don't know. You know, I mean, Tiger just reaches back. You know, I was there in 1986 when 23 years after winning his first Masters, Jack Nicklaus wins his sixth Masters. I mean, so it can happen. Magic can happen, and quite often it does at Augusta National.
Well, Bob, it's been magic having you on the show today. Have a good rest of the week. Hopefully you'll have a good Masters week as well, and your wishes will come true. We'll speak again soon.
Take care, guys. Great to be on with you.
Well, we must have mentioned a number of the world's best. John, let's get the latest top 10 after the WGC.
Well, it's still held the number one position by Dustin Johnson. Justin Thomas is second. John Rahm, third. Jordan Spieth, fourth. Justin Rose, fifth. It's a good idea for your first name to start with a J in these world rankings. Sixth, Hideki Matsuyama. Seventh, Rory McIlroy. Eighth, Ricky Fowler. Ninth, Sergio Garcia, who'll defend the Masters shortly. And in 10th place, Brooks Koepka.
One other bit of news to bring you before we go, and it comes from the Challenge Tour, where Italy's Lorenzo Gaye won the 50th edition of the Barclays Kenya Open with a playoff victory over Sweden's Jens Fabring. Now, John, this will be the last time that we speak to you before the Masters, so we may as well get your thoughts as well. We've heard from Bob. Give us a few names to follow.
Alex Noren.
Mm-hmm. Missed cut in his only appearance at Augusta, but you go for Alex, that's fine.
Paul Casey.
Who's played well there before and won this year.
Mark Leishman.
Mark Leishman, who went close a few years ago, didn't he? He won a big event on the PGA Tour last year.
And I think Sergio's going to go close again.
Back to back. Back to back, Sergio.
And Tiger to finish top 10.
Do you want any more?
No, that's it.
Okay. I mean, just the 27, that's
yes.
Fine.
Yes.
That does just about rounded up for this week's Race to Dubai show. Join us next week when we'll have an in-depth preview ahead of the first major of the year, the Masters at Augusta National. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. And don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes as well. But for now, from John Hawksworth...
Bye for now.
And me, Dan Roebuck. It is goodbye. We will see you next time.